Welcome to the Off-Track Racing Show presented by BikeMag.com. We're coming at you from Whistler, BC in the studio. My name's Tristan Merrick, and we have a great show lined up for you guys today. We have lots to talk about. Second round of the Enduro World Series was this past weekend in Val d'Alos. What a race it was. Over 33,000 of vertical feet of descending in 2 days. So, I mean, it's about a dozen downhill races, if not more there. So lots to talk about. Completely different format from our first round there in Punta Ala. So it's just myself in studio right now. Our Enduro crazy friend Seb Kemp got a crazy bout of that. So he was down in Sun Valley, Idaho, checking it out down there. But we're fortunate enough to have him joining us right now. Powers of the internet. Seb, can you hear us A-okay?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, Tristan. Thanks for taking my call.
Coming at you live from the space station, Seb Kemp. So you're actually down. You're on a bit of a layover right now between Sun Valley and another trip. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm currently sat downtown, trying to find the quietest spot to call in for you, and I was searching all the back alleys I could in East Vancouver to find a quiet spot, but as you know, they're pretty loud and busy, bustling places. So I found a little nook of the world, which is lovely. So downtown Vancouver, live, coming up. Off-track podcast.
Is there like a safety word we need to be concerned about? If all of a sudden you say a word, we should call the authorities and send them your direction?
I think if I say the F word, like, really panicky.
Okay. Sounds about right. And then joining us in studio this week, we're very fortunate. We had tried to get him on last time, but he was actually booked up. But we've got Performex, Commensal, Remy Govan. Remy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tristan. And how's it going, Seb, over in the alley?
Hello there, Remy. How are you doing, my lovely?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm doing pretty good. It's nice to be out in the sun here in Whistler, that's for sure.
Yeah, Seb, when you left last week, it was, raining and 16 degrees, and now it's about, mid-30s, and the bike park's actually been blown out within about 48 hours. It's gone from mud conditions to time to go to the lake by 10:30 a.m.
Doesn't take long.
Well, it seems like I'm the rain genie, because every time I've been back in Whistler this summer, it seems to have been raining, so I'll be back on July the 7th, so weather forecast says probably going to rain when Seb gets back.
Oh, perfect. We could use a little touch-up in the park, a little rain to tack things up for trail crew to fix it up there. So
yeah, you can just
I'm sure back. You could do with a touch-up.
You can just come back periodically.
Definitely. So just so everybody can know, all the listeners out there, you can stay up to date with the show by following us at Twitter at @off_track_MTB. That's where we'll announce when shows are live on iTunes, ready for download. And also at the same time, we'll let you know who each guest will be every week. Obviously, we had a little issue this week here. We were hoping to have Josh Carlson on, and he seems to have fallen off the map. All I've seen on the result sheet is a DNF. So hopefully he's doing A-okay there. I heard he got carted off. But stay up to date with everything on Twitter. And then, of course, Instagram is the other place. Sven Martin is updating that account on a regular basis, especially with all these back-to-back races and all the travels that he's doing. So off_track is where you can stay up to date there. So, of course, big thanks to BikeMag.com for supporting us here. And they've made it so we can have Seb on tonight. So, Seb, Val d'Alos, second round in the Enduro World Series. Apples to oranges from Punta Ala. I don't even think there's really much comparison other than the fact that we had a lot of the same faces, just a completely different format as far as practice goes and as far as racing and a couple little shockers there.
Yeah, so this format, if I get it right, there was a lot of chairlift access. There was slight pedals to get to the stages, but most of it was accessed through a chairlift, whereas the first round in Punta Ala, they'd have to pedal a 50-kilometer loop to complete the stage. So, yeah, a little bit different. I imagine it probably meant a lot of changes to the bike setup and approaches to it. As we saw Curtis Keene and Josh Carlson in the Whistler Bike Park last week kind of getting ready for it. But you're right. It's still the same faces up there, certainly after day one, but we saw on day two, like, a lot of incidences which meant that some of those riders dropped off, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, very different format. They come in, they aren't allowed to really do much. They were allowed to walk the track if they wanted to, but because of the length of it, a lot of riders opted out of that. So then they would show up morning of the race. So on Saturday, they had to go do one run through, keep moving the entire time, do pretty much a sight lap, as a lot of other sports call it, do a sight lap, and then go down to the bottom, hop on the chairlift, and go straight back up. So testing a lot of riders' skill set. A lot of guys, you know, were in Punta Ala. They had, some people were there more than a week, more than 2 weeks, doing a lot of shuttles and everything. This one, chairlift up, not a ton of pedaling, but a lot of bike craft, learning the track on the fly, trying to figure out how hard do you push it in this sight lap. And a lot of guys, I know Menar was running 200 mil rotors, running downhill tires, because there was no liaison times, really. It was just pure downhill. But I mean, stages were anywhere from 9 minutes to 14 minutes. So very punishing. Oh,
that's brutal. I mean, it's worth noting that the Vavels was really where Enduro started. Fred Glow got it rolling there over 10 years ago. I think up until this year, the format has always been completely blind. Obviously, some locals would have the advantage still, but completely blind. But because of the World Enduro, of the Enduro World Series, they've switched it around and done that sight lap, which is still, I think, the closest we're going to get to the blind Enduro format, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. I mean, it's one of the longer Enduros out there. This was their 10th year, and yeah, as you said, they changed a couple of formats. Fred Glow out there each and every day on his trials bike, sticking out markers and flagging everything. And what a race it was. I mean, as far as downhill goes, Remy, I mean, you guys are racing, an average World Cup downhill race is under 5 minutes. And these guys did six stages, and all of them 9 minutes and above. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you think you could just step into that ring like these guys, or is that just a specialized skill set that they have?
It's always a bit of an unknown, I think, because you don't know how hard you can go for those 9 minutes without having done it in the past. So for me, I don't know. I think it would take a couple races to really figure out where I could excel and how hard I could go for those stages. But I'm sure that my fitness could work in those situations. I think that I could step in after a bit of practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's worthwhile pointing out that I've seen Remy at more cross-country races this summer than I have. Well, I'm sure he's been doing lots of downhill races, but I seem to bump into him at every damn cross-country race I end up doing. And yeah, he's as fit as a butcher's dog, I'll tell you.
I try.
He's on a pretty good program. And I mean, yeah, me and Remy were actually talking beforehand. It didn't work out for him then, but Jared Graves, the last month they've had off since Punta Ala, knowing that the format was going to be completely different for this weekend, went home and started riding a lot of new tracks and riding them blind as quick as he could as a way to train, because, you know, trying to figure out how to push, what not to push, and everything along those lines. So, you know, Jared Graves coming in second place, you know, came into the race weekend with third overall from the first round. And then, yeah, ends up second place, but was first after the, first sitting first place after that first day. I think nerves maybe got to him a little bit there. I mean, what do you think, Seb? You have Nicolas Vuillot breathing down your neck after day one. Does pressure...
Well, I think it's credit to Jared Graves to get where he did. I mean, he was strong all weekend, which is so impressive. I mean, he was winning stages, and he was just up there the whole time. It wasn't like he came out of nowhere. The alien... You'd be crazy not to put money on him somewhere to go one way. So I think in the end we saw the experience come out, but it goes to show Jared, who's a first year Enduro convert, is going to be a serious contender all year round.
Yeah, and I think the scariest thing is when you look at the results here, there's only 6.4 seconds between them, and that's after an hour and 5 minutes worth of racing.
Are you kidding me? That's tiny.
That is, yeah, 6.42 seconds after 1 hour, and I mean 1 hour 5 minutes 11 seconds is what Vuillot came down in, and that's that's ridiculous.
That's a smaller difference than Rachel Atherton has put him on the rest of the girls' field this year in the downhill races on one course.
Very much so. So, you know, it was very tight racing. And, you know, like I said, they had six stages. And all in all, they descended 33,000 feet worth in those six stages. There was only a couple little punchy climbs in them. So bike set up completely different. Another round and another no 29er anywhere on the podium to be found in the men's category. You know, 650B kind of or 27.5, whatever you want to call it, kind of establishing some dominance within this enduro format. It seems to be working for these guys.
I'd say. Well, there's several things you could say there. Yeah, there was very few 26ers and almost no 29ers in there. Curtis, though, did finish 10th overall on the 29er. But, yeah, not many 29ers. It might not particularly suit those kind of tracks. It's difficult to get the tires in a really stiff wheel. I'm sure that the bigger wheels might have been good for some stability at certain things for certain riders. But the 650B thing, the reason we're seeing so many 650Bs out there doing so well is that every single manufacturer have moved over to that wheel size. There is not, at the moment, a high-performance mountain bike that you would enduro on being developed in 26-inch wheel. As far as the future of development for the next few years, at least, 26 is gone. And that's sad. But anyway.
That's another show. I feel like my bike is losing value right now just sitting in the garage with its 26-inch wheels, and I'm not going to be able to sell it at the end of the summer.
True.
I'm gonna have to, you know, I don't know what I'm going to have to do to get rid of it. I don't even want to think about it. But and then rounding out the podium, I think most notably we need to talk about is world champ downhiller Greg Menard coming in third place. Awesome to see them back out there, him and Petey and Bryce and the Syndicate clan racing again in the second round. But Menard coming down in third place, that's, I think, a true testament. I know there's on Vital there's a little clip with him saying his hands have never hurt so bad in his entire life racing the fourth stage there, the 14-minute stage. It's...
Wow.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's cool to see him back out there. And I think the hottest topic of the weekend was... a lot of guys having issues with flats. The big three, Jerome and Dan Atherton, and the overall leader after round one there, Fabian Brel, all getting a flat on the same stage, and it's setting them back depending on where they got the flats on the stage. Jerome doing the best damage control, coming back and winning what I think it was one stage on that final day to get seventh place. So doing some serious damage control when, you know, the next nearest competitor was Fabian. Fabian was back in 54th overall at the end of the weekend. I think we're going to see a bit of a shakeup in points. As much as it's a long series, I guess if you're going to have a mechanical, getting it at the top of a 10-minute stage is really disastrous. There's not much you can do at that point. You know, it's...
Absolutely. It's a complete lottery with bunches, though, isn't it? I mean, you can do everything in the world. I know the internet's spracking endlessly about the fact that both Fabian and Jerome both bunched and they're running Mavic's new tire and wheel system, blah, blah, blah. But punches can happen to absolutely anyone, and it's going to be a common feature, I think, through the series. If you think about it, you have a downhill series of six or seven races, at six or seven chances where you're going to get a puncture, and that's going to lose you big points. In enduro, if you're doing six or seven stages, and those stages are two or three times longer than a downhill race, and you're doing that just for one race, and you times that by however many rounds there are, the chances of punches are going to go up hugely. So, yeah, it's going to come down to it, I think, by the end of the season. It's going to be who managed to stay clean and healthy and mechanical free.
Yeah, very much. And do we think with the punctures that have happened, do we see maybe a bit of a fire getting lit under the tire manufacturers, you know, rear ends, that now that we're on the world stage, you know, you can't just take a tire from 26 and just make it a bit bigger, that there's going to be some more testing. There's going to be a lot more, you know, kind of 27.5 downhill specific casing tires. Do we see that happening with these little glitches that are happening to these top guys?
Well, sure. I mean, if you look at, if anyone who's smart enough to go and look at tire catalogs at the moment, there aren't as many, the selection of 27.5 tires is not as deep or wide as on other wheel sizes. So yeah, manufacturers are going to have to keep up. I think Maxxis have kind of got a limited run, certain treads, certain compounds, certain sidewalls they've got ready to go, but it's not the complete selection that I think would suit a lot of these riders. A lot of these riders have for years been able to swap tires between all sorts of different treads and compounds, and they can't do that at the moment. Schwalbe have got a deep selection of 27.5 tires at the moment, but then other manufacturers need to catch up. So yeah, maybe there's more stress going into those tires because they are a little bit bigger. Maybe they do need to be adapted for the size. Perhaps, who knows?
It'll be interesting, like we said. I mean, especially with that new Mavic rim and tire system, how things unfold. And we're fortunate we have a round right away again this coming weekend. We feel like we're getting spoiled, just like we had with the downhill series there. It took forever to come around, and then we had back-to-back weekends before we had 5 weeks off. So right now we're fortunate we're going straight back into another round, and the format hasn't been released as far as I know, and neither is the courses, but I know they've been walked today by Darren Kinnaird from Crankworx and Chris Ball. They're over there in Les de Elp checking that out. But one other thing I do want to touch about with the racing here is the women's side. Tracy Mosley again coming down, and I would love to say that the gap was a lot closer, but she put a minute 16 into her second place rival there.
Oh my lord, that's a bit big, isn't it?
It's unfortunate that we didn't see Anne Caroline back this weekend. She will be joining us in Crankworx, France, and for the series itself, I'm hoping she's feeling healthy, because it's a bit of a one horse race right now in this female category. I don't think anybody really has anything for Tracy. I mean, a minute 16. That's a good size margin for somebody like herself. And it'll be interesting to see if a bit of pressure this weekend with ACC coming back, will she buckle a little bit? Is all of a sudden that the top dog, the person who's won every enduro and has won pretty much every race in the last couple of years that they've entered, is she going to be able to come back and establish her dominance in that racing field?
Oh, it's going to be brilliant seeing those two go toe-to-toe, because Tracy Mosley is an incredible competitor. She's been doing it for 15 damn long years. If you want to fight her tears, dead thumb wrapper sometime. But she's also got a lot of experience on this enduro thing. She has been doing quite a bit for a few years now as she's been transitioning out of downhill. And she's got these two Enduro World Series under her belt. It's going to be giving her some confidence coming into the next one. But Anne Caroline, she's a fierce competitor. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be brilliant to see someone challenge Tracy and vice versa. Because up till now, from afar, it looks like it's a bit of a one-horse race.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing is not to take anything away from the other female competitors. They're giving it their all out there. I think they would beat a large majority of the guys. But you know, you just look at the overall result sheet, and Tracy Mosley was pretty up there in compared to the guys. She was 74th overall. So that's not to say she's not a slouch there, considering there was about 250 competitors all in all. So strong effort from her, and a lot of guys got checked.
Remy, when was the last time you got kicked?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Oh,
much too long ago.
I think you got
probably at the NIMBY.
Yeah, I think a lot of people got kicked at the NIMBY 50 race. Yeah,
everybody gets kicked there. Seb, do you have? I know our time's kind of a little limited with you here, but any other points you want to add with what we saw over the weekend there in Val d'Alos?
I don't know. Again, like it's interesting to watch it from afar. It's going to be interesting seeing it happen at Crankworx Europe this weekend. But it's time's ticking. They're about to step onto North American shores pretty soon. I was down at a Super Enduro race in Sun Valley, Idaho, and some of those competitors there were getting ready to ship off to Colorado for the Enduro World Series round there. And then, of course, we've got Crankworx Whistler coming up. So there's a lot of people in North America that have stayed away from those races due to funding or all sorts of other commitments that are really kind of lining up for those races. I still think we're going to see a very strong whitewash from the Europeans and Jared and Greg and whoever else, but it's going to be interesting seeing it come out to the North American side and seeing the slightly different formats.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it gets announced. I feel like I've been breaking every Enduro World Series rule with riding my bike in Whistler this past weekend because the bike park was a bit busy, and feel like any trail I was riding, it may or may not have been shuttling or illegal according to the rule book, but it'll be good once we get on North American soil at the end of the month there and see how Crankworx Colorado Enduro World Series goes and like you said, Whistler being next month, but
yeah.
We still lots of racing in between now and then with Les Delp with the Crankworx France this weekend, and it's an exciting, another French round. I'm sure we'll see another French rider up there. I'm think though, now that Jared Graves has a bit of probably a bit more confidence of that he is that guy, he can be there regardless of other riders getting punctures or not. I think we're just going to see him get stronger and stronger as the rounds go. I mean, we've seen it with him when he used to race Four Grosse with the Norbas, when we used to race World Cups with downhill, when we've seen him race BMX World Cups. This guy is one of the most talented two-wheel mountain bikers out there, so...
Yeah, he's so he's very versatile, and he can adapt himself. I think a lot probably comes down to the mental game and also preparation. And as you were saying earlier, he's been preparing very hard for this enduro stuff. So,
yeah, well, it's a good race, and even guys like Jerome, even though he had a puncture, I know he said afterwards it's just a race at the end of the day, one thing I do want to say is we definitely got to give it up for the Enduro World Series. Chris Ball and everybody he's partnered with, Fred Glow, Enrico. We're two rounds in, and it's exciting. It's, you're waiting for the weekend to happen. There's quality racing. It's being a well-run event. I haven't heard a peep from anybody of any of the riders or anybody having any issues with the format and what's happening. Chris has put together an amazing series, and I can't wait to see it come to our backyard, Seb, when Crankworx Whistler rolls around, to see the event run by the Enduro World Series and just the caliber of riders to be out pre-riding once the courses are announced. And, the fact that we'll have, Nicolas Vuillot, and we'll have Jared, and we'll have Jerome and Fabian and all these guys on our backyard, on our turf, so.
Yeah, it's interesting to point out to the listeners, like at the moment, just like them, we've just been following the websites and the Twitters and the updates and the live time and stuff. So we're still commentating from afar, but it is going to be really exciting once we get to see it up close and personal. So keep tuned in for Off Track Podcast for, hopefully we get some of those people in the studio, eh?
Yeah, there's, for all the listeners and for Remy and you, Seb, there's definitely some I've got some things in works there, and I've been chatting to a few of these bigger name riders, some of the French ones, to just try and get them into studio and get them on. Obviously, we're only four shows in, and we're still trying to, from myself, we're still trying to get the respect and get the listeners on board with what this program is, and the listeners also being the riders that are competing in these rounds. So hopefully in the next little bit here, we'll get some names confirmed. But the idea is come the day after we race here in Crankworx, we'll have a bit of a roundtable discussion. We'll have a bit of a different format for the show, but hopefully we'll have a couple of those big name guys hanging out with us in studio, and we'll do a bit of a special longer show. And it will pump it up beforehand. We'll have the tweets going out there on our Twitter account. So if you have a question for any of these riders, Hopefully we'll be able to get them to answer it while they're in studio here. So lots of exciting things to come here at the Off Track Show, and we'll keep everybody up to date as we go along here. But lots of racing to go from between now and then. But Seb, I think what I know your time is limited now, so I think what we'll do is we'll cut you loose and let you go for the evening. And where are you off to next? I know you're down in the city. You're flying out first thing tomorrow morning somewhere else.
Yeah, I just got back from Sun Valley, Idaho. They had a ride Sun Valley festival, and part of that was a super enduro race. So I was out there all weekend. I've got to say massive props to Sun Valley for putting on a really good event. It was really great to see, like, the grassroots. The enduro format is very flexible, and we saw that at the weekend, and it allowed so many different riders to come out and participate, which is really great for enduro. Courses, oh my god, were damn pedally and so fast. I wasn't used to it at all. But I think my Strava clocked up almost 70 kilometers an hour on one of the stages, which was terrifying. But yeah, and then I'm off to Northern BC tomorrow morning to go and hang out with Chief McLean of the Taltan band. It'd be quite cool.
Ah, right on, man, right on. We'll let you go, and safe travels here, and I guess we'll catch you when you're back on second or first week of July, there, July 7th or whatever. So we'll have to catch up with you then. Thanks for joining us here at the show. Of course, your segment is brought to you by bikemag.com. So safe travels, man, and we'll see you later. That was Seb Kemp joining us from the city there, giving us the doing our little wrap up of Val de Los. And of course, like I said, next round coming at you guys live this weekend is Crankworx France, Les de Elp. But let's switch the gears here and let's go over to our in studio guest, the Performix, Commence Cal. I don't know, he's probably got a lot of other sponsors on there, which I'm sure he can talk about. But we've got Remy Govan and Rem. Many names, many nicknames, but you're currently the Canada Cup points leader, correct?
I am.
After winning Tremblant, and we're a few days out before you head up to the next Canada Cup up in Sun Peaks, and then Nationals the weekend after, is that correct?
That's it. So, yeah, we're leaving Friday morning for the Canada Cup, and then straight into Nationals the weekend after.
It should be exciting. So Remy, last week, we were trying to get him on the show. Things fell apart a little bit. He's a busy guy. And then he goes out and he wins the Fat Wednesday and in process beats Chris Kovarik. So he won last weekend. He abided by the rules, unlike a other young kid by the name of Tyler Allison, who didn't spend any money at the bar that he'd won when he won the first round, didn't take his chain off, and then went home early to comb his girlfriend's hair or something. So Remy abided by the rules.
No comment.
Remy abides by the rules of Fat Wednesday, which is if you win, you spend the money. And we got another Fat Wednesday tomorrow night, a bit more of a downhill race rather than a bit of a slower one last week. So Remy, you've been racing the World Cup so far this year. We're two rounds in, Fort William and Val de Sol. You've had some of your career bests, but then also a couple little hiccups. I mean, you're a Canadian kid. You're not on the same level, obviously, as Steve Smith, but you have a pretty good support system. You know, I don't want to call you a privateer because I don't think you're a privateer. You have a really strong backing program with Todd and the Performix. Maybe you can bring the listeners up to speed of the support that you get and how your season's gone so far.
Yeah, so we have a pretty good program this year with Todd and the Performix Commonwealth team. We got Kyle Sangers and Michaela Gatto on our team, so we got two fast Canadian racers. I've looked up to Kyle figuratively and literally. He's pretty damn tall.
He's the giant.
6'5", yeah. He's done really well in the past 2 years in Canada and on the World Cup. So it's cool to have him on the team, and Michaela is always a force on the World Cup with the girls. And so yeah. Like you say, I'm not a privateer. I'm kind of halfway there, I would call it. we've got some good support from Common Cell and Shimano and all the rest of the sponsors. So yeah, we have some good support, but like you said, it's not the same level that some of these factory riders are on.
Yeah, so I mean, you are working with probably arguably one of the best trainers out there. I mean, Stevie uses them, as I think Brooke McDonald uses Todd. There's quite a few of these guys, so you have a very good advantage. The team that you the team manager and the guy that you ride for is the same guy that's training these other guys. And you know, I'm fortunate enough, I raced with you actually quite a few years ago, back when you were a junior. I wouldn't even call you a junior. And you've definitely, you're a lot you're a super strong rider now, and you're qualifying for World Cups with is it fair to say with ease now? And qualifying is easier for you now. It's just a matter of the mental game of putting it together on race day rather than getting into the finals.
Yeah, I think so. Last year I wasn't 100% sure that I could qualify in some of these races, and it kind of played with me. But yeah, this year qualifying is no longer the issue. I think I can qualify for any race. So it's just putting it together in the finals, which is you think it's the same as qualifying, but no, there's a bit more pressure in the end. So that's pretty much where I'm at now. I just need to get in a few good results and should be fine. I think I can do that, no worries.
Yeah, well, I mean, the season's as much as the season isn't a long one, because it's the UCI here, and they figure less rounds is better for you guys. But we've still got quite a few more rounds. We still got next round not being until the end of the month in Andorra.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's go back to the first two races that we've had here so far. Like you said, come race day, it's not the same. I know you guys have a new mechanic this year. Is that a huge part?
Spooner at the GBB. He's awesome.
Spooner, Mr. Adam Bowie. Does the mechanic play a huge role? Because he's kind of your guy up at the top of the course, right? Is he the guy bringing your wind trainer up there and getting you all set up? Or how does it play? Because, you guys aren't the Athertons where there's a team manager up top, a team manager at the bottom, and radio conversations. You guys are kind of fending for yourself. Spooner gets your bikes running.
Yeah, we're not big time with the radios, but yeah, he does everything we need him to do. He's up there at the top, with the trainer, with our water. He knows our start times. Our bikes are all dialed. It's awesome to have your bike, ready, not having to worry about a thing on the bike. It's ready to go. So all you have to do is really focus on your run, and that's huge help. And he's done a really good job coming from really not having any other World Cup experience before this. He's doing a great job.
Does he try and keep things light for you guys? I know some riders. I mean, what type of rider are you? Are you better where things are kept light? Or are you wanting to be the guy that's like locked in the corner with the lights off on the wind trainer, listening to some sort of aggressive music to try and get it out? I mean, what's your perfect scenario with warm up?
I'm pretty light. I think I like to have a laugh on the trainer and not really think about the race too much. Pretty much. I don't really like to think about the course at all for the hour or two before my run. Just try and keep light, keep calm, take some deep breaths, listen to some music that both pumps me up and chills me out at the same time. I've got a few good songs actually, which are working out all right. They feel good, yeah. So no, it's good. I think I have a good spot for race day. I think it's working out for me. Yeah, it's fun.
Are you a creature of habit? Put the left glove on first, put the left sock on first, or what? Yes,
left knee pad on first, then right. Pretty much everything else is I don't mind, but yeah, left knee pad, then right. It's every time.
And does Spooner, talking about bike setup, I mean, because you guys are fortunate, you're not privateer, but you are a privateer. You have your mechanic. Does he, with setting up the bike, does he let you guys, does he kind of know what you guys want for as far as your grips and where your brake levers are at and brake lever height? Or is it you give him the bike, he fixes it up, and then you still have to kind of give it the once through to make sure exactly, some riders are so particular with their brake levers as far as the throw and how flat are they or how steep are they kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty particular, so usually he'll work on the bike. He'll get it to where he thinks it should be, and then I change it. Yeah, he knows what we like. Like, he knows what tire pressures we want, and he knows what are all the clicks on our suspension. He has a little black book that he keeps all his notes in. So no, he's dialed. He's got it figured out.
Not to be confused with girls' numbers or anything like that.
No, it's a separate page for the girls.
Separate page. Good. Well, so yeah, we're two rounds in. You've had some of the. I mean, is the season been what you thought it was going to be? I mean, are you getting the results you want, or is there just a couple little hiccups that you keep having that you just need to iron out a few things? Because I mean, you qualified Val de Sol. Sorry, didn't you have your best qualifying ever at a World Cup there? It was 50th?
Yeah, I qualified 45th in Val de Sol, and yeah, I was happy with that. It didn't seem like an overly aggressive run. It was a calm run. Val de Sol is kind of a weird track. Because it's so rough, you feel like you're not really riding that great, and you can come down with a pretty good time, or maybe vice versa. Even you feel like you're really putting it all together, and that course can just bite you in the ass. So, that was a run that I didn't think anything much of. I thought it was something I could definitely outperform in finals, but like I said, in finals the course kind of bit me in the ass. So but it did for so many other riders as well. Like, so many top riders crashed, and although that's not an excuse, it's, I guess, comforting at the same time, knowing that course is a course that you know, shit happens on. So,
well, yeah, we had Chris and Claire in the studio chatting about that one, and we actually had different answers from both of them. Claire liked that course when it was wet. It was almost more of a consistent surface for her growing up on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. She knows how wet roots are, knows how wet dirt is, whereas Chris is, you know, born and raised Australia, is used to that, you know, super blown out dusty where there's a ton of dust on the rocks, where it's almost a more inconsistent surface. Mm-hmm. So it was you know, like you said, you weren't the only one that got caught out pushing it, as we saw, you know, the Bulldog, Sam Hill, Danny Hart, Jack Redding, you know, all these guys put in stormers of qualifying, but they were they were kind of one little hiccup away from going down catastrophic, and they did. So, and you know, G's the man right now. It must be interesting there to be down at the finish line watching him come down and go, how the hell is he doing what he's doing? You know, he's come in and he's won the first two rounds, and he doesn't look like
he's the smooth operator, that guy. So
are we talking about the bar, or are we talking about on the race course here? Because I've seen him at both, and it's interesting.
yeah, well, right now on the race course, but I'm sure he's not bad on the bar as well.
We'll be right back with more Off Track Podcast in just a second. Been checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse. Whoa, I'm waking up. I'm getting in my bones. Enough to make my system. You've got Canada Cup round number two coming at you this weekend from Sunbeak's fast Floyd course.
Pretty much straight down from what it looks like. I just watched a helmet cam, and there looks like there's about five corners and a solid grade all the way down. So we'll see. I think it'll be a hold your bars as tight as you can.
Just death grip. Yeah. Was that the classic commentary by Adam Mantle?
It was, yeah. Yeah, we'll see how accurate his descriptions are when we get there.
See how it is. We'll see if we can take him down. But so yeah, we've got that coming up. We've got Nationals the weekend after up at Panorama. It kind of seems to be a frequent track for you. And I would, you know, from my personal opinion, you're probably a favorite going in there, as Stevie usually isn't racing those Nationals. Mm-hmm. He's got the hallway pass to get out of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you're going there. I mean, there, not to say there isn't a lot of competition. I mean, you've got your teammate Kyle Sangers and...
Yeah, there's Kyle Sangers, there's Matt Beer, those guys are always fast, and there's a few other guys who could, you know, Mark Wallace even, he's a quick junior, and yeah, there's definitely guys who have the potential to put on amazing runs, but I'm at the same time, I'm confident that I can do what I have to do as well, so...
you've been putting in the work. What round are you, or what race are you looking forward to most this season? I mean, you've got World Cups, you've got Canada Cups, you've got Crankworks. Fat Wednesdays, that's probably the most illustrious victories there.
Yes.
You win a Fat Wednesday, you probably get more money than you do at a Canada Cup anyway, so.
Well, not quite, but it's not far off, actually.
When you pay $2 for an entry fee and you get a beer at the bottom, it's...
Maybe the ratio's a lot better.
the expenses versus winning is amazing.
It is. I'm actually really excited to go back to Sun Peaks this weekend. I haven't been there since I was like first year junior, just a little squirt pretty much, big wide-eyed kid. And
the last time you were there is when I still...
Yeah, you were actually, I think you raced. Were there, Tristan, so yeah.
Now I'm just enduro, bro.
Yeah, so I'm excited to go back there. I like fast, really fast courses. And then Mont Saint-Anne, I always enjoy. I'm pretty stoked to go back to Mont Saint-Anne. Crankworx is always a great time as well.
Canadian Open, 10G on the line again this 10G. Year. We'll see if maybe you can take knock Stevie off his perch there.
Yeah, that's always the goal, isn't it?
you might have some serious competition actually tomorrow night. Fat Wednesdays. Rumor is Mr. Stevie Smith is in town, so.
Rumor is, but I have all this experience on him. I've been in the bike park the last week. He's just rolling in.
You've been putting in the laps with the Geddes brothers and Kyle and Michaela and everything. So
exactly.
Cool. I wanted to touch on Worlds a little bit. You've represented Canada two times now, three times?
I think it's four now.
Four times.
Yeah, jeez. every year since first year junior.
We're going to South Africa this year, Pietermaritzburg.
Yes.
Have you changed any of your training this year? If you've gone the last 4 years, you probably, it's safe to say that you're, barring anything bad, you're probably going to go again this year. Is there something you're going to have to all of a sudden switch at some point this year where you need to start ramping up your training specific to that course?
Well, I don't think that we can switch up the training too much because there's so many other races before that. Like, we can't focus on Worlds in the springtime when the bulk of our training is done. And then this year, the racing is so close together. There's so many rounds in so many different places that really we're just trying to do maintenance now. I think I'll be fit enough to go to that race. I'm never worried about my fitness at a race. I know that I'm as fit or fitter than most of the guys in the top 20, so yeah. Even just doing fitness challenges with Steve and Brooke and the rest of the Performax athletes, I can hold my own, and I'm not afraid to show it, so I'm not worried about the fitness. It's just like any other world championships, you just got to go for it, and whatever happens.
Cool. So dropper posts, slick tires.
Yeah, hookworms.
Hookworms. Give it up for the Maxxis hookworm tires. Yes. Yeah, it should be a good one later on this summer. So one question we actually had, Seb and I were chatting about it earlier. Maybe you can help us out. So we're on Twitter all the time. We look at what's trending, what isn't trending. We're looking at the Performax hashtag. And I keep coming across this hashtag that's Gatto Booty. What is a Gatto Booty, and why is it trending? Is it is it something that can be cured? Is it a good thing? Is it a deterrent?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it can be cured. I think that one's for life. As some of you may know, Michaela Gatto, she does have a big badunkadunk, and she knows it, and everyone else knows it, and I guess she just isn't afraid to put it out there. So, the Gatto Booty. Hashtag it. If you got one, hashtag it. If you don't, I guess.
just had to ask about that because I see it. I'm like, oh, Performax, hashtag. Okay, what's good? Oh, it's picture, Remy. And I'm like, wow, Gatto Booty. Okay, well, fair enough. So, something a little different there. And it must be cool to be on a team with, Canada's probably arguably top female rider right now.
Mm, yeah.
Somebody that, unfortunately, it hasn't gone her way yet this year, but is very capable of a top five at a World
Cup. Yeah, she's got the potential to be a podium racer at any race. So, yeah, it hasn't gone her way. I think she's a little disappointed, but at the same time, you know, she could turn it around in this instant. So, and I think that she could do just that. You know, Mont Saint-Anne, she had her best result last year with a fifth place, and there's no reason she can't go do that again. And, you know, like the rest of us, she's fit, she's on Performex, she's training with Todd, so
yeah.
That's not going to be the issue. She just needs to put it together on race day, I think.
Righto. Well, definitely, I mean, we definitely appreciate you stopping in and joining us in the studio here. You want to give you a minute to thank your sponsors or anything like that? I mean, as a younger guy, I mean, you definitely got to give your shout outs to, I'm sure, your mom and dad. I've seen your dad all the time at the races there.
Yeah, my dad used to come to pretty much every race.
He's at the NIMBY. He was killing it at the NIMBY.
Yeah, he did the NIMBY, which I was pretty impressed with, actually. He wasn't even planning to race it, and he ended up, you know, doing it in sub 4.5 hours. I thought he was going to be, you know, have to be gone to searched for, you know. So, no, it was awesome. I was extremely proud of him for doing that. And, yeah, so my mom and dad have helped out a lot, and the rest of my sponsors, Performex Common Cell, and all the sponsors that goes with our program. And thank you, Tristan, for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for joining us in here. I think we'll have to get you back in again, especially with you going to all the rounds and stuff like that. It'd be good to touch base with you and see how your progression goes the rest of the year. It's exciting being a Canadian myself to see, you know, I've, of course, the attention mostly goes to Steve Smith, but there's a lot of other really, you know, as much as we're Canadian, and I don't know why we're not, you know, always on the podium. There's not more of us on the podium, but, you know, it's cool to see you rising up through the ranks. And like you said, you know, last year was just a matter of your focus was getting into each round. And now that's not the concern. It's climbing up those results, each and every round. And I will say though, didn't you acquire a number plate earlier this year? Everybody's favorite number to put on the wall.
Yeah, I did. I acquired the 69 plate in Val d'Isol, and that was pretty cool.
I hope you're gonna get that framed and put up on the wall there.
I will.
Not everybody gets those. They're just put it in the shoebox for later on in life to look back and have memories.
I got a Facebook message from one of the Canadian veterans, Mike Jones, who said he had his best World Cup result with that plate in Calgary. And I don't know what it was, 2002 or something?
A long time ago.
Way too long ago.
Well, maybe you just need to take the plate with you and start running it behind, I think Menard was doing that years ago, where he used to start doubling up the plates from his favorite one.
That might not be a bad idea.
Just start running it behind, who knows, it's all of a sudden a good luck charm there, and you could, you know, bring you good luck. So definitely I appreciate you jumping in and joining us here today, and best of luck tomorrow night in the Fat Wednesdays, and the Canada Cup's obviously coming up, and Nationals and everything. So, and for everybody listening there, of course, we're not going very far here. We've got another round this weekend coming up with the next Enduro World Series. And, you know, stay up to date on our Twitter account, off_track MTB. That's where we'll be posting up when the course details are released, hopefully in the next day or so here, and the format that we'll be operating under. And we'll be working on getting a wicked show lined up for you next week. And speedy recovery to Josh Carlson. Hopefully he's doing A-okay there with the Giant Factory team. And from all of us here at Off Track, big thanks to our main supporter, BikeMag.com. My name's Tristan Merrick, and we will catch you guys next week.